This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
It is the annual college basketball extravaganza. Bob Haney, Jimmy Patsos, Terps number 4 seed out west. Carolina's in, West Virginia's not. We'll get into all of that good stuff. Jimmy's got no problem with the Tar Heels being in, 1-12 in the quad ones. All right.
Hey, we're making a tough schedule.
I mean, we didn't beat anybody. But
well, we'll see what Coach Williams thinks.
And that's joining us now. As a matter of fact, we're going to break down the Midwest. I've got Duke winning the East. Coach Patsos has Alabama. We'll do the Midwest. Number one seed is the Houston Cougars. But joining us now, he's won this thing. NCAA tournament, that
two
is.
Two Final Fours.
Double Final Fours. Multiple Sweet 16s. He's a Hall of Famer. So welcome back to the show and the Window Nation guest hotline. Coach Gary Williams. Coach, how you feeling here on this Monday?
Bob, Jim, I'm feeling good. You know, it's this is always a great week, and it's probably college basketball's time to shine. These 3 weeks, they just take over the whole country, basically. People that don't really follow basketball that much have their brackets at work or whatever, so it's a great week.
Gary, we just had Dwayne Simpkins on a few minutes ago. Of course, played for you 4 years, University of Maryland, went to 3 NCAA tournaments, 2 Sweet 16s, took American U, or you coached, to the tournament. When you see one of your former players achieve this level of success, I mean, what's the sense of pride for you there?
Yeah, it's great to see Dwayne doing what he's doing. Dwayne always thought... Jimmy, you know this. Dwayne always thought we yelled at him too much.
Now he's coaching. Good luck.
Yeah, I know. Now he's yelling at guys. So, it's just the way it goes. But Dwayne did a great job with American U. He kept his team together from last year. They really played well down the stretch. You know, he did everything you have to do to be an NCAA tournament team. And, you know, they have a good draw in their play-in game, and we'll see what happens. But Dwayne should deserve a lot of credit. He paid his dues. He was an assistant coach for a long time before getting a chance to be a head coach.
Yeah, and at a great school like American. And we'll talk about that, Gary, how you have to look at what's good about your program. Because Gary Williams got the job at American U, Haney, and They didn't show him the gym on his trip. You know why? Because they didn't have one. They played in Fort Myer. But you just want to be a head coach so bad, Gary. And then we have these group of guys. And Dwayne always wanted to be a head coach, Coach Williams. But we have these guys that are like, well, I might not take that job or I might not take this job. And you and I know, and I want you to speak about that, like how hard it is to get a job and how you just take it. Haney, you think I'm kidding. Gary, they didn't show you the arena at American U because they didn't have one. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. I came down, I was assistant at Boston College in 1977, and their coach, Jimmy Lynham, took the St. Joe job and left American U, and the job was open, and I had, you know, a pretty good chance because Tom Davis, my head coach at Boston College, had been an assistant there with Tom Young, and Tom Young was at Rutgers by then, and he spoke for me along with Tom Davis, so basically, that's how I got the job. And, you know, I went down there and met the president, met the AD, met the players. You know, it was great. It was the spring. It was about 30 degrees warmer than Boston that day in D.C. And I just said, this is great. And I went home and somebody asked me, they said, well, how was it? I said, oh, great campus, unbelievable, great area, D.C., the whole thing. They said, well, how's your place, your home court? And I, you know, there's a pause was there, and I go, I didn't really see a home court. And then I found out we played our games over at Fort Myer. So you'll appreciate this, Jim. Every game, we would pack towels, water jugs, everything in vans for home games, drive across town in D.C. rush hour, and get to Fort Myer to play our games. And, you know, it was really a great experience. But you know what? I look back at that. That wasn't even a problem. I was so happy to be a head coach. I never thought, you know, when you're an assistant for a long time, and Jim, you were an assistant for a long time before you got the Loyola job, sometimes in the back of your mind you think, this isn't going to happen. I'm not going to be a head coach. And, you know, you put a lot of time. You know, I was a high school coach and before getting a chance to be a head coach. So I always really appreciated what Bob Fraley, the athletic director at American, did for me by allowing me to be a head coach at American U.
See, he gives us credit to his AD. We had Joe Boylan, RIP. We love Joe. Great guy who was on the Rutgers undefeated staff there in 76. Coach Williams, we're going to talk about going out west since we were good at that because they let Duke and Carolina always stay home. But we'll go into that later, Haney, as Duke and Carolina sneaks in. And I don't have a problem with Carolina sneaking in. We got a couple questions, Gary. Going west, other than having to deal with Troy Wainwright's playing, you know, organization and John Brown making me late for things the next day and J.J. Bush maybe falling asleep in the St. Patrick's Day Hotel in Utah. No, these are secrets, Haney.
Yeah.
Going west, and I
Nobody
say
knows.
That. And Gary can tell the inflection in my voice. Going west can be good, Gary, because we got tighter. We went to our first Final Four. We went to a bunch of Sweet 16s out west. We did pretty well out west. Tell us your thoughts on what you do when the team thinks, oh, we're going to the east, and all of a sudden their parents and everybody can't go to the games. Don't tell the truth on that, please. No, I'm just kidding. Tell us about, like, Gary, when we went west. Remember when we went to Boise and things like that? What do you think about that? Do you just not even mention it, or do you talk about it?
Well, with your team, you're really careful about giving them any room to have an excuse for not playing well. So I never thought of it with the team as a problem. It was a problem for our fans, for the parents, for the players, things like that, to get there because you find out on Sunday and all of a sudden you're playing Thursday or Friday. So there's not much time to prepare for something like that. And you were right because Duke and Carolina were in our region all the time. If they were higher seeded than we were, then they'd have to knock us out west because of that. They didn't want us to play Duke or Carolina in that first group the first week. So that's why, I guess that's the way they explained it to me, why we went out. But, you know, I just think you have to be able to play. And it's really weird when you get out there. Sometimes those gyms aren't very full. You're used to playing in sold-out places in your league or whatever, and all of a sudden you get out there. And the gym's half empty. I remember playing in Wichita. What was that, 11:30 in the morning?
11:30. By the way, it was St. Patrick's Day. We beat them, and they were Charlie Spoon higher, and they were higher seed than us.
St. Louis, yeah. That was Larry Hughes and the boys, St. Louis. And athletic director at St. Louis at the time was Debbie Yao.
Oh, we're having such a good day. Let's go on to the next subject.
Hall of Famer Gary Williams joining us here. Bob Haney, Jimmy Patsos. It's our annual college basketball extravaganza. Coach, we look at the West region. Terps, the number four seed. Florida, number one, rolling through the SEC. And then the job that Rick Pitino has done at St. John's.
Coach Williams, I found
there.
This out. You're St. John's, and you know how it is. They own that city when they go. Did you play them in the finals your first year in the Big East? Did you play them by chance when you had?
Yeah.
In other words, we read the Post, Haney, and they have, like, great moments in St. John's history. And I see this 1983. They won it. And, by the way, it's Gary Williams' name. By the way, you were in the Post several times this weekend about Feinstein, who we'll get your reflections on, New York Post. But you were in there. It was like you, Michael Adams, maybe you, John Bagley, and somebody's name was in there. St. John's, I didn't realize you went to the finals of the Big East in Madison Square Garden. Did you care that it was there, or did you like it being there?
That was the Chris Mullin, Bill Weddington, Mark Jackson, Willie Glass. Great team, St. John's. And we beat them twice during the regular season. We beat them in Alumni Hall, not in Madison Square Garden, St. John's old place. It's still old, you know, it was old back in 1983 where they play. And we went into the Garden and got to the championship game, and they beat us in the Garden in the championship game. But it was a good game. But, you know, to beat a team that good three times, that always gets hard, especially when they're playing on their home court. So, but it was, you know, Louis Cornaseca was an icon in the city. You know, and it was a tremendous show. I believe that was the first year the Big East went to Madison Square Garden.
Wow, Dave Gavitt, innovator, said we're going to play here and we're going to stay here. On that note, it doesn't surprise you, what does it, what Rick Pitino's doing and how he's, you know, in other words, it's not just the game. As you always taught us, Gary, it's recruiting and it's coaching. That's one thing. But promoting, this is one of Coach Williams' things I talked to Dwayne Simpkins. AU is a lot more fun to go to games now, Haney. Dwayne Simpkins, we always said at Maryland, the secret sauce of Gary Williams that people didn't realize as much was his promoting abilities, marketing major, business school, all that. Tell us a little bit about promoting, Gary, and then are you surprised at what Pitino's done or not really?
No, I think Pitino's done it enough places now where it's no surprise. And, you know, and where Rick is really smart, he took a look at the whole NIL thing his first year at St. John's, and he said this publicly, like, the days of recruiting a high school player might be over for him. He's going to go after the guys that average in the mid-majors maybe 15 points a game and take that guy, or a disgruntled guy from a major program, you know, that type of thing. And he basically said he doesn't go to high school games anymore because he doesn't have to. He can get the guys. And, you know, Rick's got his Wall Street guys up there. You know, they're the basis for his NIL money. And it's been reported that he has $4 million to work with this past year. So that's where college basketball is right now. And you better be right there if you want to be competitive at the highest level, because guys are going to go where they can get the most money 99% of the time. And, you know, Rick has taken advantage of that where you know, he's just a smart guy. He's always been able to do that. And, you know, you look at the results this year, and it's obvious that he knew what he was doing.
Well, we got to go to break because we could do this all day. People don't know this. Jim Calhoun at Northeastern, Gary Williams at BC, Rick Pitino at BU, all in the same time. And all those three schools cared about was hockey, Haney. But yet they had these three coaches there because it was a good breeding ground. Like, Boston was a great place for colleges, but it was hockey. And Gary's there with Calhoun and Pitino, all three Hall of Famers. In closing, Gary, and I know we could do a whole show on John Feinstein, but really quick, what he meant to you, and you gave him a sort of a break and let him around you at American U. Just real quick, what do you think on getting, you know, I mean, obviously a terrible tragedy.
Yeah, he was came out of Duke, was a intern that summer of 86, and he did such a good job. The Post kept him on, and they gave him AU as his beat as a basketball reporter. And that's where I got to know John. I was 32 years old, something like that. And I could see, you know, John has always been opinionated. That was his biggest thing. And, it, you know, it turned some people off, to be honest. But at the same time, I really liked his love of basketball, just how he cared. And he did his homework. You know, he was never unprepared. He had a great memory. And he knew the game, and he knew the game, and that was one of the things we hit it off. And, you know, we stayed friends through the years, you know, wherever I went coaching and wherever John was. And, you know, he started to get so successful with his books that, you know, you wonder about that. But, you know, he just stayed a friend, you know, that whole time. And, you know, what happened, you know, the sudden death of John Feinstein was certainly a shock to me and, you know, everybody that knew him, because he was one of those people that was just always going to be around talking about the game of basketball.
Coach Gary Williams, Hall of Famer, talking college hoops. NCAA tournament starts tomorrow. Real quick, Gary, who wins the West? How far does Maryland go?
Well, I'm picking Maryland to win the West. There's no doubt about that. But you look at Florida. They're probably playing as well as anybody in the country. And they're good. They deserve to be a number one seed, and they've gotten better as the year goes on. So they're as dangerous. But, you know, you see a team like Connecticut. They've been around, you know, obviously two national championships teams. Whether they can turn it on, play better than they played this year, we'll see. But, you know, we just want to get that first win and then go from there and see what happens.
Gary Williams, Hall of Fame coach, joining us here. Bob Haney, Jimmy Patsos. Coach, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the tournament. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon here.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks. See you, brother. Thanks, I'll see you. Sweet 16, we're on the private plane. We're going.
Oh, sure, yeah. Okay.
Seattle's too far. We'll wait. We'll make sure they get to the Sweet 16.
Hey, Gary Williams, everyone. Thanks, Coach. We'll come back, reset the program. Mini whip. There were some things going on in the world of sports. Orioles split squad two games. They won one. They lost one. So you can't lose in the exhibition. Jorge Mateo came back, though. Is that a good thing? Ravens have a new backup quarterback. Please don't call up saying this is an exciting thing. It's a backup quarterback. If Cooper Rush plays eight games, the Ravens are hosed. But Ben Cleveland came back. That's somewhat surprising. And everything else we can get into in a short period of time. 11:30, going to break down the Midwest region where the number one seed there is Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars. And then we're going to talk about Mount St. Mary's. The Mount, they're in. Donnie Lynn's their head coach. We talked to American Youth head coach Dwayne Simpkins earlier in the hour.
And your friend from Glen Burnie.
He's from Glen Burnie?
No, but lots of them, including my friend Maureen, who's listening. But we love Glen Burnie, where you're from.
Well, I'm actually from East Baltimore, but I live in Glen Burnie.
All right, you do. You and Jeremy. Let me tell you something. Hi, Maureen.
And Cordell Woodland.
And Donnie Lynn, the Deadhead's coming on 11:45. Don't miss it.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like strawberry lemonade and extra-strength fan fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is DaxRU?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go 5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Here we go.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, a little mini whip here on this Monday. It's our annual, me and Jimmy Patsos, national championship winning Jimmy Patsos college basketball extravaganza. We've got the breakdown of the Midwest coming up here at the bottom of the hour. I got Duke in the East. Jimmy's going with Alabama, the Crimson Tide. But a couple of things outside of the college basketball landscape. Orioles split squad yesterday, lose to the Phillies 12-1. Ramon Laureano went deep in that one. And then beat the Tigers 7-1. Colton Cowser went deep for the second consecutive game or twice over the weekend. Albert Suarez, five innings pitch, but how about this? Nolan, get in real quick because we haven't really had a chance to talk to Nolan McGraw.
We love you, Nolan. You're doing 20 jobs.
Yes,
we appreciate you.
Yes, he is. But Sagano, Morton, all good. Eplin got touched up a little bit yesterday. There were some unearned runs as Westberg, for some reason, having a rough go of it defensively. But, you know, Sagano and Morton, Eplin's going to start opening day. Let's assume Morton goes game two. Then a Sagano over Kramer, and then Povich or Suarez. I mean, is Suarez pitching five innings give you the indicator that he might be the dude? I think that fifth starter spot with Grayson out is still to be determined here.
Well, I think they probably still lean Povich just because, again, you need that bullpen replacement for Kittredge as well. So Suarez would be a natural fit there. And as far as him having a starter's workload in spring, well, it's always easier to have them stretched out now and then decrease it from there rather than you get in season and you're scrambling saying, oh man, we need a starter, but this guy isn't stretched out yet. So get everybody ready. A lot of moving parts, but I think Povich starter, Suarez bullpen.
All right, switch.
Even though Suarez started yesterday, that has nothing to do with anything. That doesn't matter in spring.
May went five innings, which I found, but he's got this rubber arm. It looks like I think he can adapt to any role that the Orioles will ask him to. Repovich more as a starting pitcher. That
can I get an Orioles question in that everybody wants to know?
Yeah,
I'm an average. I go to 10 to 15 games.
Double
a year.
X if you're going to buy me an Orioles t-shirt.
Double X, double I will X. Get you.
Yes.
Double X. Nolan. Jackson Holliday, I thought, looked like 12 years old last year when I watched him play. He was a little young. I like him. I know he's playing better. Haney, is he really?
He had a couple of knocks yesterday.
Is he really coming, or is this like in other words, he just looked so young to me last year.
He's your starting second baseman for the majority of the season in 2025. A year ago at this time, he was the number one prospect in baseball.
Right, but he didn't do great when he was up here.
No,
I'm talking about what they talk about in bars and in the cabs, et cetera.
Because they know everything.
Is this Holliday guy going to be another Gunnar Henderson and Rushman? And I'm like, I didn't see it.
Well, lots riding on it. I mean, a lot of their offseason moves were built around the fact that we're expecting a lot of our young in-house guys to get better. We didn't make a big flashy addition in the offseason, but if a guy like Jackson Holliday plays close to an all-star level, that's a flashy addition of its own right.
Be Westberg. Be what Westberg was last year, and then Westberg taking it to another level. Ravens, real quick. Cooper Rush. Nolan, I say that name, that means what to you here on a Monday?
Security blanket. A little more secure than what they had. You don't want to overstate it, like you said. It is what it is. I mean, they're paying him a good bit, but that's the going rate, I guess, for quarterbacks.
Ben Cleveland coming back, that's kind of...
huge shocker.
Surprising.
Performance and, you know, the off-the-field issues from last month.
And he was kind of dismissed, too, at the combine. Well, he's a free agent. We have no comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to have to comment on that. By the way, Ronnie Stanley going to meet with the media later today via Zoom, it seems, right? Isn't that what... They changed the whole process.
I didn't see anything
based on
that.
Based
on
the email that I saw.
Not just him. It was George Warhop
and
Todd Monken
Todd Monken. And let me just confirm, but supposed to be at 11:30. I think things have changed in that regard.
Ronnie Stanley, see another outsider view. I'm an insider, but an outsider.
Right.
Ronnie Stanley, man, I was worried about, you know, you read all the publications, he's going to leave, he's the number one free agent. Rolled right up and signed really fast, Haney. Was that surprising to you or no?
No, because...
happy here? Rashadi, best owner
in sports. And DaCosta basically said with great confidence that they anticipated him being back this year, where he refused to talk about Ben Cleveland. He was, we're confident that Ronnie's going to be back. Real quick, and this is the Ravens email to the, unless I'm reading it incorrectly, which, by the way, would not be. Let's see, Ronnie Stanley, 2 o'clock Zoom. There you go. And I was supposed to be a three-pronged heavy metal kind of press conference. But Ronnie Stanley's back. Not surprised, Jim, to answer your question.
I thought Cleveland was all right. I remember him blocking the field goal. He blocked the field goal against the Commanders.
Didn't it hit him in the head or something?
I don't know. It was the toughest ticket in football this year, regular season. Was with the, I told some friends of mine, can we not play the Commanders here anymore? Because all my friends from Washington
He's starting at left guard, it'll be more surprising than them even signing him back. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, re-up in Cincy. Extensions there. They said they were going to do it. They did. But it looks like Cole Hendrickson's going to be out the door in that scenario. And real quick, before we get to the break, then get your calls that break down the Midwest. And then we talk to Donnie Lynn from Mount St. Mary's. This day in Maryland NCAA tournament history. Today is March 17th, 1983. See if you remember this one. I watched this game. I don't lie. I watched this game with my girlfriend, Donna Danielowski. Houston Summit, first round of the Midwest Regional.
The Summit where Moses Malone played, which is now, by the way, a church.
Freshman Len Bias hit a 15-foot jumper with 2 seconds left as Maryland came from 12 back at halftime to beat UT Chattanooga 52-51. Bias finished with 10. Adrian Branch had 22 to lead the way for the Terps.
How about that? We hit the jumper to beat Chattanooga.
Yeah. Freshman Len Bias. Next game. Round of 32.
UNLV.
I don't even think it was round of 32. No, it was number one ranked Houston at the Summit. Lefty went slow down. Maryland lost 60-50. And they infamously, if you're a Houston fan, lost NC State.
That's when Five Slam and Jammer couldn't win it.
1985. Watch this game, too. Dayton, Ohio. Second round. First year of the 64 teams. Maryland beat Navy 64-59. Terps were down 11 in the second half. Len Bias had 20. The Admiral, David Robinson, had 22 for Navy. As Maryland advanced to the Sweet 16 in Birmingham, where they would lose to Villanova. Arguably the luckiest team to ever win in NCAA.
Very interesting. You have Five Slam and Jammer, who is on the losing end.
Should have been national champ.
Right, on a weird shot. You know, Lorenzo Charles grabs a rebound from Wittenberg. And then in 85, you have, which Easy Ed Pinckney and them just ride it. Three teams in
no
the Big
shot
East.
Clock. It was 45-42 was the final score.
Three teams from the Big East went to the Final Four. Yeah. And Gary's Boston College Eagles could have went to the Final Four.
Lost to Memphis.
Guy stepped out of bounds. Then Andre Turner and Keith Lee. Yeah.
And Maryland had beaten them about a month earlier at Cole Fieldhouse on national television. Watch that game, too. Not that a lie. And this game we talked about with Dwayne Simpkins and Gary Williams. 1994, Jim.
Oh, yeah, that was it. I knew we were going to win.
31 years ago, which is crazy.
There was a dog track right out in the middle of the field in Wichita. There was an arena and a dog track. And I grew up going to the dog track, Wonderland in Boston. And I said, Gary, we're winning because there's a dog track. And he looked at me. 2 years later, Goodwill Hunting came out. And everyone says, now we know why. Because Remy takes you to the dog track in Boston.
Terps were a 10 seed.
10:30. It was 11:30 game. First game of the whole tournament.
12:30 East. Yep.
12:30 East, 11:30 out there. And the whole country back then, and I mean literally, was watching because we were the first game on at St. Patty's Day. That's when people took off, like maybe they didn't even go to work, but like from New York to L.A. to San Fran to Chicago. Obviously, my family in Boston and Washington had a huge St. Patrick's Day. Everybody was watching, celebrating as we beat H. Waldman.
Yeah. UNLV transfer.
Erwin Claggett.
Yes. Charlie Spoonhour. Joe Smith. Remember him?
He was pretty good. Keith Booth was good that weekend.
29 points, 15 rebounds. Good as Derek Queen is. Joe Smith was
National Freshman of the Year. Quick second jump could really, not your average Joe. He saved, Walt Williams saved the program. But Gary Williams saved the whole thing. But that's the Gary Williams saved the school.
Johnny Rhodes 14, Keith Booth 11. That happened 31
Johnny
years
Rhodes
ago.
14 could steal the ball. He was bigger. Irwin Claggett was small. Johnny could guard him. And then we beat UMass the next game in a huge, huge win to beat upset the number two.
At the time, arguably, Jim, the biggest win Maryland had in a long, long time, beating yes. UMass. Because you guys had played him earlier that season. And if memory serves, I think some trash talk and near fisticuffs took place in
yes,
that first matchup.
Yes, up in Springfield. Well, that was Calipari's crew. Now they don't even care about basketball at UMass. All they care about is their hockey team that is going to the Sweet 16. Well, they only have 16 teams. Sorry, Vinny's not here. His Penn State Nittany Lions will go. But UMass hockey is way more important than UMass basketball. Who would have thought?
When we come back, we're going to break down the Midwest. Then we're going to talk to Donnie Lynn from Mount St. Mary's, who takes on American U. We talked to Dwayne Simpkins earlier. It's our annual Bob Haney, Jimmy Patsos. College basketball.
You should have had Gary on longer. Gary and I have a lot of stories.
Hey, if you could talk to our PD about longer segments, I'd be more than happy to oblige. I got Duke in the East. You've got Alabama. Midwest, number one seed there. Houston Cougars, Kelvin Sampson. Remember last year, they had some injuries during the tournament that prevented the expected deep run. But real quick, Jimmy, I'm looking at a possible upset here. What about Utah State?
Oh, and everybody wins there.
And Ian Martinez over the old Bruins of
UCLA.
We
played Utah State in the tournament. First time I'd ever heard of him.
Oh, and Larry Eustace.
Larry Eustace was the coach. We went out in Sacramento. Once again out west. We won in Sacramento. And then the next game we played Illinois. And the guy went under the ball screen and let Lon Kruger and Stokes hit a three. And then we had to go play defending national champ Arizona in the Sweet 16. We hung in there. They were just
Arizona. Oh, that was Anaheim.
They were defending national champ Arizona.
But where's your upset in the Midwest?
So that's funny you said Utah State, because that is just a great job. Logan's there. Kelsey Knocke, Chris Knocke's daughter, was out there with who? Ryan Odom. The Utah coach, my friend Craig Smith. Where would he come from? Utah State. They just win there. And Danny Sprinkle, who's now at Washington, wins there. The Youngstown State coach is there now. Ben, love you, Ben, my assistant coach. Another former manager assistant, my coaching tree. Utah State can beat anybody. They have a very good team. We all know the Mountain West, San Diego State got to the Final Four out of there. Colorado State's really good. We saw Boise State. They'll be in the NIT. They didn't quite make it. Nevada with Steve Alford. But Utah State is one of those teams. They are really good. They are just tall. And remember, Haney, they're older than you think, because a lot of them have gone on Mormon missions.
Who wins the Midwest? I'm going with Houston. I'm staying chalk.
Yeah,
this one,
I love Houston because of the bubble and Kelvin Sampson. Kelvin Sampson, he has this thing he puts on the rim. Remember Hollis Price and them from Oklahoma? Those little guys would rebound. I think that they have a really interesting matchup with Gonzaga. McNeese, I love Will Wade. I don't care what anybody says. He works hard. I got them beating Clemson. Will Wade was a manager at Clemson. I don't see Purdue coming out of there. Wasn't really a thing with them. Don't count out, you know, it's weird because I love Kentucky as a basketball program, and Calipari was my buddy. Mark Pope's done a really good job. They've had some wins there. My friend Amanda Zimmer is a grad, loves Kentucky, and she helps me with the Wizards. I think Kentucky can surprise. I'm going to take Kentucky over Houston there.
Bob Haney, Jim Patsos, Jimmy Patsos, national championship winning coach. We'll come back, talk to Donnie Lynn, the mouth back of the tournament, taking on Dwayne Simpkins, American U, coming
proud
up
alumni,
Wednesday
a lot
night.
Of proud alumni from the Mount around here.
There we go. We got that coming your way next here on The Fan. Head coach now of the Mount joining us here on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome into the show Coach Donnie Lynn. Coach, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here. Congratulations on the NCAA tournament bid, winning the MAC with two A's, taking out Iona in the championship game.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys, and thanks for the friendly tunes to get us started.
Houston, too close to New Orleans, Donnie. You know that. Fantastic job. For those who don't know, Donnie Lynn graciously walked through my doors at Loyola. He's like, I'm a student here, and I want to be a manager, and I'm going to be a basketball coach. And I was a better coach the day he walked in. Our program was a better program. The world's a better place. You are a beautiful human, Donnie. But I don't want to hear any of that. You can coach. You had injuries. For those who don't know, Mount St. Mary's, beautiful alumni, Bowtie Phelan, legendary coach. They switched to the MAC, M-A-A-C. Donnie comes here via Don't worry. I taught him all the bad things. Shaka Smart taught him all the good things, and that's called balance there, Haney. But Donnie Lynn can coach. You've done a great job at the mound. It's your first year. You come from Shaka Smart bloodlines, a little bit of mine, but you go to UNC Greensboro. You get this opportunity handed to you. It's so hard to get a head job, and you got one, and not only that, you turned it into magic. Tell us about your team. Tell us about your journey, and tell us how excited you are to play in Dayton. We love you, Donnie.
Thanks, Coach. You know, I am beyond excited, you know, for this opportunity. We have a great group of guys. Like you said, we've been battling injuries. We found a way to make just adversity our friend this year, and found a way that we'll just continue to battle and respond the right way every time. And you know, that's led us to this point. We've got some talented players, though, even the ones that even though we got some injuries. We're strong inside. We got two forwards that are all league caliber players in the MAC, and then we got three or four guards that really give people fits. And we guard you. I love offensive basketball my whole life. And we just won the MAC tournament, and didn't give up more than 55 points the whole weekend. So, we decided that we had to guard some people and found a way to get that done.
You know, sometimes, Donnie, I learned this from Calipari. Like, you know me, we were going to run and press. Shaka Smart, you're going to run and press. Calipari said, find out what your team's like, and then we'll figure out in October and maybe even November, when you play games, how you're going to play. If you adjusted to play defense and that's how you won, that's the good thing, because you're going to have to stop Simpkins' team. They got Rogers inside, Stevens the guard. They're a little deeper than you think. What's your thoughts on the play? I'm going to tell you right now, Donnie. I'm always going to tell you what I think. I think the play-in game is kind of cool. I think you're the only show in town. You get a full share. What I like, Donnie, is while we would love to see you play Duke first round, let's face it, that's probably not going to go your way. Okay, Ryan Odom and Virginia is a one-time thing. You have a chance to win a game against somebody you're equal. Like, I want to hear your thoughts on the play-in, and I don't mean to be critical because I think it's wonderful that you're in it, but I think it's kind of cool. Like, tell us your thoughts on going to Dayton.
Yeah, you know me, Jimmy. I'm a positive guy. I'm excited for an opportunity. This is my fourth time in Dayton as a coach. Obviously, when I was at VCU, we were in the first year they had it, and we went to all the way to the Final Four. So, there's plenty of good vibes that come from a trip to Dayton. But like you said, to be the only show in town, to be the only game on in the tournament at that point, for a place like Mount St. Mary's, it is an unbelievable front porch for our university. People get to see the Mount. They get to hear about us. They never, ever know what the Mount is because of the work that these guys are putting in and us getting this platform. So, we're certainly, we're in, and we're going to try to make the most of it. And like you said, to get to play a 50-50 game in the NCAA tournament on a neutral floor, anybody will sign up for that.
Donnie Lynn, head coach, Mount St. Mary's, joining us here. Bob Haney, Jimmy Patsos. It's the annual college basketball tournament extravaganza. And as coach said, Donnie, Dwayne Simpkins was on, who, was playing at Maryland when Jimmy was there. Of course, you were with him at Loyola. So the bloodlines are running a little bit deep here. What can you tell us about your team, their strength, your strengths going up against the American? Both teams riding high right now for sure. But where would the advantages or disadvantages be for this matchup Wednesday night?
Certainly, Rogers is an advantage for them every time he steps on the floor. He's a good inside outside big. There aren't a lot of those that we see in the MAC. There's a lot of physical bigs, and then there's some skilled guys, but there's not as many that can do both. We'll have to be ready for that and give our guys a plan. And we are built in a team as a team that is we don't give up layups. Right, we are built. We were like fifth in the country in the amount of threes attempted against us. Well, Americans like 50th in the country in the amount of threes attempted all season. So we're gonna have to see if we're gonna have to change a little bit on what we do, or if our philosophy is gonna be all right with making them take some contested threes, because they're capable of making 15 of them. And if they make 15 of them, we're not gonna have much of a chance.
Donnie, as long as you're coaching Sunshine Daydream, baby, we always got a chance. About
no doubt.
The Mount. Oh, yeah, that's from Sugar Magnolia, folks. Yes, we will be at the Sphere this spring. We can't help it, Donnie. We will go back. Donnie, Bill Walton, our friend, loves hoops. John Feinstein passed away. We've asked people about John Feinstein. I know he loves Shaka in the mid-majors. Tell us a little, like forget Bass, forget your team right now and forget the Grateful Dead. Just talk about, like, you're an NCAA tournament coach, like, dreaming-wise, a kid from New Jersey that comes down to Loyola, you know, is just going to kind of mill around and hang around our team and be a manager, and then you get this inkling, and then you go to Mount St. Mary's. But forget it. You had to sweat and grind it and working for Shaka Smart out there ain't no prize, okay, everybody? And I mean that in a good way, but you're grinding hours. Just tell us, Donnie, the surreal moment for you. And I think you said it right. The people that grew up and went to the mountain and the Odd House and all the fun we've had and Jim Phelan and all the coaching stuff. Do you kind of pinch yourself and say, A, I'm a Division I head coach. B, we are going to the NCAA. But also, Donnie, keep that edge. Okay, this is no, you've earned it. You have the right to do it. You can win. Like, give us your kind of like, this has been a crazy year for you, if that makes sense, Donnie. And here you are, deservedly in the NCAA. But give us a little like outside view of how great this is for you. But how much hard work you put in?
Yeah, it is definitely surreal. You know, I'm one of the things I'm not very good at is just that, right? Is stopping myself to, you know, pinch myself and make sure I realize this is real. But you know, like you said, this has been an unbelievable year. Our team has found a way to like fall in love with each other. You know, they love
that matters.
Each other.
That helps.
They are willing to give up their own personal success a little bit so that the team wins. And you know better than anybody that that's harder than ever in this day and age. You know, these guys are all so willing to sacrifice and give up so that we can find a way to get a win. And, you know, the fact that they bought into that idea is the coolest part about this year.
Well, and, you spread that, and that exudes from you and Donnie. We can talk about how we could do a whole show on NIL and how there's going to be guys watching your game that aren't your friends that want those players and all this. And you know what's funny, Donnie? I don't blame the players and the kids. I learned this out of Washington from Danny Sprinkle. He said, Jimmy, it's not their fault. Now, the people around them make it harder, whether it's coaches or uncles or aunts or whoever, with not only do they want to get to the pros, they want the NIL now. And if you've, how do you deal with that a little bit, Donnie? In other words, you're not really an NIL school. You are a little, but we're talking about the big time stuff. Like, do you just put that wall up and say the season's here and we're going to start to play it out, fellas? Like, how did you get them to love each other so much?
Yeah. You know, we've talked about it, you know, like you said, we're not a big player right now. Hopefully, you know, this run will help some people understand that if we can, you know, add a little bit, maybe we'll be able to, you know, sustain some success. But we just got to be real with these guys. Like, yes, these things are out there. Yes, you know, your play and your performance can do that. But the only way that you're going to have that stage and that opportunity is if we win. And, you know, you can continue to work together and give ourselves this opportunity. And then, hey, whatever you get out of that, you know, let's do it. Like, Jimmy, you know, we're the same way. We're adults too, and if our play as a group and our job then opens up opportunities for us, why wouldn't we look at it? So why would we hold that against our guys?
Because smart men. Hey, Bob's going to say goodbye. We love you, Donnie. There is a road. We love you, Donnie.
By the way, I guess Jimmy forgot that 2 years ago, Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue, winning in Dayton. 16 beating a one. So that happened. There you go. That's right. It's happened before more than once. Coach Donnie Lynn, Coach, we appreciate it. Give him hell in March.
Man, thank you all so much.
You got it. We'll come back, reset the program for you eventually.
And good then luck resetting the program.
We're going to break down regions. We got a lot. We haven't even gotten to Maryland's region. We're going to save that for last for sure. Ryan Odom, by the way, joining us at 12:30 VCU. He's dancing again.